This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Lisa Osborne. It's the time of year when a lot of happy couples tend to get engaged, but a new study finds marriage as an institution isn't what it used to be. Joining me to talk about the new I do trends is UC Santa Barbara demographer Shelley Lundberg. She's an economist, and she conducted the research along with another economist, Robert Pollack, at Washington University. Thank you so much for being here, Shelley.
Oh, my pleasure.
What did you look at? What was the goal of your research here?
Well, the principal puzzle for us was the divergence that we've been seeing in marriage and cohabitation behavior between college graduates and all other Americans. And I don't think anyone's really adequately explained why marriage is being much more persistent as an institution among the more highly educated and among those with higher incomes, where the retreat from marriage has been much more pronounced at lower education and income levels.
So people who tend to be college graduates or have the higher educations are getting married more often. And why was this?
What we did really was try to reinterpret the basic patterns that we saw. Almost all Americans get married at some point. All right, so the big distinction here is that people with lower levels of education, non-college graduates, are enormously more likely to have children outside of legal marriage, to have their first child either on their own or within a cohabiting relationship that tends to be much less stable and so on. So what we wanted to do was to try to explain the timing of these decisions as well. So one of the puzzles here is what really distinguishes marriage from cohabitation these days? Why should anyone get married at all? Because you could get most of what we used to consider the gains from marriage, you know, economies of scale, companionship, and so on, through cohabitation, which is now pretty much socially acceptable. And what we came up with was what distinguishes marriage as an institution is really the long-term commitment aspect of it.
So having that piece of paper, they're more committed.
Right. It's a signal of commitment, and it's also a lot harder to get out of than a cohabitation. Right? It's more costly. It's more emotionally painful. It's more socially embarrassing. So marriages tend to last a lot longer than cohabitations do. In the old days, the reason that you had to have that long-term commitment was because of the pronounced gender specialization that we saw.
Where women would tend to stay home and men would be the bread earners and then the women were protected?
That is correct. And how can that persist when women essentially isolate themselves from economic opportunities and ensure that if they are left on their own, they will be destitute? So that's why you need this sort of contractual relationship that lasts for a long time and is expected to last for a long time. So our next question was, why does anybody get married and why do the well-educated and well-off particularly tend to get married and stay married because their marriages are more stable as well? And our hypothesis, and that's really what this is here, is it's a theory, is that it's all about kids. It's all about the joint project of making long-term intensive investments in your children. And so people who have the resources and the aspirations and so on to want to make those investments wait to have kids until they've found a long-term partner.
So the couples who get married and invest in the children, was your research able to discover that they prompted the children to go to college or get a better education? Or what did you find from that?
Well, we were really relying on research that other people have done over the last decade or so. So parents tend to spend more time with their kids now than they did decades ago, period. All right. But the gap between the time that more educated parents spend with their kids and less educated parents spend with their kids has grown, and relative spending on kids has risen more at the top end of the income distribution as well.
Now, that's interesting because people who are less economically well off are spending less time with their kid, and do you think that's because it costs, they have to work more to provide for the children, or they're not as engaged in their child's future and directing the future?
Well, there's a sociologist named Annette Leroux who has done a lot of observational studies of this, and she says that parenting strategies just appear to be very different among different social classes and education groups, where the more highly educated follows what she called a strategy of concerted cultivation of their children. They talk to their children a lot. They deliberately try to draw out their children's expressions and so on, whereas parents with fewer resources, with lower incomes, focus on keeping their kids safe, keeping their kids well-nourished, and they have sort of very different strategies. Right? So there is evidence, in fact, that education has an additional effect on parenting, which is it makes parents more aware of how of child developmental stages and so on. And there's a fairly recent study that shows that more highly educated mothers respond to their children in more developmentally appropriate ways. They just have more know-how, in fact.
This is Lisa.fm Thrive. We're speaking with UCSB demographer Shelley Lundberg about trends in marriage. What was the research? What surprised you the most in your research?
So this is difficult because what I say is we're reinterpreting existing information, so we knew about it. However, there's a potential policy implication. So one policy implication here is that if you want to make children better off, right, you don't necessarily have to have marriage promotion policies and encourage their parents to get married. What you might consider, again, is making it appear that the prospects for their children are brighter. Improve the schools, give these parents reason to believe that if, in fact, they invest in their children, they focus on their children, that there'll be a reward to doing that and their children will be successful. So invest in kids and you might be able to increase marriage. The real distinction between marriage and cohabitation is this commitment, is this notion that we're in this for the long haul. And I think that's the kind of relationship that's necessary before you make big investments together, before you buy a house together, have kids together, and so on. And that's the real distinction, I think, that we're seeing at the top and the bottom of the income distribution.
Shelley Lundberg, you're the Leonard Broom Professor of Demography at UC Santa Barbara. You're also an economist. What else do you study here at UCSB?
Well, most of my work in recent years has been focused on family economics, so I've really concentrated on how husbands and wives make decisions together, on fertility behavior, on inequality and its origins in the family, and so on.
And with things being so expensive these days, housing costs so expensive and it's so expensive to live, are you seeing anything that's different now?
The big change in very recent years in family behavior has been one of the main impacts of the Great Recession has been a slowdown in family formation. And we've seen that, right? Kids are staying home with their parents longer. They're much slower to move out. They're slower to make cohabiting relationships. Fertility rates have fallen, right? So there's been a real slowdown in the establishment of families that's come from the economic anxiety that we've seen in the last few years.
UC Santa Barbara's Shelley Lundberg, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
You can read more about this study at wellnesstalkshow.com. I'm Lisa Osborne for Issues and Ideas right here on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast.